This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
There's another apocalyptical prediction about to come true. Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
You guys, and one more thing, what you guys, look at me when I talk to you.
I'm looking at you. Right?
My girlfriend's smell is what brought the fucking bum over, huh?
You misunderstood what I was saying. I said she stinks, but I mean, she stinks of beauty. She wasn't a nice lady when she was alive, you know, but,
You know. I had enough of you, you fucking cocksucker.
My
dirtbag. Hold this fucking thing. I hit you with the cane, huh? You know what I'm gonna do with this cane? I'm gonna shove it down your throat until it comes out of your fucking asshole, you big mouth bastard.
Hey,
what's
on.
This? What is this? Oh, pay attention. What is this?
Hey, Mr. Duran, you know, I look up to you. You look, you know, I look at you, I see an Adonis. You know what
look
I mean?
Look at this. He's drinking on my fucking job. I told you to search this prick before you brought him up. I suppose this was a piece. Drinking on a fucking job and eating my chicken. You ain't gonna be satisfied until you're me and I'm you. That's what you're waiting for, huh?
You're cute, boy. You're cute.
I love you. I love you. Shut up, you cocksucker. You talk too much. Shut up.
Wait a minute. Let me kiss the ring. Let me kiss your ring. Come
on. You know what you're gonna kiss? You're gonna kiss my prick, you fucking rat. Nikki, Louie, we got the stool pigeon. Nobody can stop us, huh? This is to you, you rat. A salute.
Oh, Jesus, you fuck, you!
What's the matter, boss?
Hey, you're not looking too well, boss.
Kill the rat!
Holy shit, he's dripping. Oh! Oh, get a mop!
The fuck is happening?
Oh, look at that stuff spew! Oh, man! What's the matter? You can't hold your liquor, huh?
Cocksucker! Oh, shit! What the fuck with my balls?
Kiss your prick! It's dripping down the stairs!
Louie, Dickie, kill him!
Hey, I'm the new Don!
Wouldn't
come on! Hey, I'm telling you, will you fellas? Because I think I'm gonna take his cane. Get that ring before it gets all messed up, will you?
Turn around, you prick, you! I'll bite your heart! You call me Mr. Duran! And listen to everything I say. Listen! And we do everything my way. If you didn't know it before.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 23, Street Trash.
And they call me Mr. Durant. Street Trash. Yes.
Street Trash. They may have filmed Taxi Driver during the height of a municipal garbage strike in New York City, but this film is 10 times more grimy and disgusting than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in a scrapyard, and superficially the plot's pretty easy to describe. It's a sort of a malt liquor beverage,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Viper, and one of the unfortunate side effects of swilling this hooch is that you explode.
You explode into this multicolored neon
slimy mess.
Pile of goo. Yeah, no, I mean, this movie is a vile, dirty, disgusting, and yet oddly lovable movie. I mean, it's pretty reprehensible in many, many ways.
In many levels.
But
it breaks many taboos.
Breaks many taboo.
Grotesque on a variety of levels. We'll get into.
And yet, it's so fucking entertaining, and it's great. I mean. So with this movie, this takes place in Brooklyn. And this is not the Brooklyn we know today. You know, this is the Brooklyn.
Yeah, not the Brooklyn of Williamsburg and
Greenpoint, actually, where this was shot, where you have tea rooms and dive bars in quotes.
Exactly.
And yoga studios and all that.
Let's just say there's nothing artisanal about anything in this movie. There's no. Well, there are beardos.
But they're the original beardos.
But they're of the derelict kind as opposed to the hipster kind, right? So basically, this movie revolves around a group of derelicts living in Brooklyn who are just basically trying to get by. And of course, one of the things they do to get by
facilitators is this it gets kind of like nitrin instead of a malt liquor, and the
Frank
Great Guns N' Roses song. So they imbibe this
right because we should talk about how they come across this. So there's this liquor store owner. And he's scouring his basement. He finds this dusty crate.
Yeah, and you know what you do with dusty crates. Right,
exactly.
Exploitation films.
He pries it open and he finds these bottles of hooch, and they're entitled Viper.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, oh, maybe I could sell this for $1, right? And then the main derelict, the main bum, Freddy, goes in there, and
he tries to rob the guy.
Right. Well, but let's describe Freddy. What does Freddy look like?
He looks like a concert for Bangladesh era George Harrison.
Indeed. Yeah. He's got the beard. He's got the
Floppy hat.
Yep. And he grabs a ball of hooch and he just kind of goes off on his merry way. The thing that's kind of interesting is that he manages to steal the Viper because the liquor store owner is distracted because an amputee comes in and
falls off his wheelchair.
And this is no Hollywood special effects. No. Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump, where they're basically using CGI to get rid of him. This is a real amputee who falls off his wheelchair in a very sort of inglorious way. So I mean, right away we kind of got a sense where this film is going,
and where it goes is breaking every taboo imaginable.
Right,
there's a chase after he steals the hooch, and during which point we see, again, after the amputee falls off his chair, we see full frontal nudity right off the bat.
Yeah, in the first 3 minutes, we see full frontal, both male and female, which, that's pretty daring right there.
Yeah,
and,
so within the first 2 minutes, we're in pure exploitation territory here, and the local dump/scrapyard,
yep.
It's overseen by an overlord.
I think I say an overweight, an obese, extremely obese.
I think I described him. He's a cross between wrestler Hacksaw Jim Duggan and John Goodman.
Oh, you're talking about Bronson.
He's the local boss of the derelicts who live in this dump.
Right. Well, I mean, we should say that it's really a scrapyard. I mean, it's an establishment. It's a place of business that's owned by this extremely obese, overweight, bald-headed gentleman by the name of Mario. And interestingly enough, this guy, the actor that played Mario, also played he was typecast, basically. He's an extremely obese, overweight, disgusting mayor in one of our absolute favorite movies, The Toxic Avenger. And, he's got all these, this amazing assortment of just totally filthy, disgusting, and eccentric, and wonderful, weird and wonderful hobos living in his scrapyard, one of whom is this Bronson fellow.
Yeah, and this guy is... he's a little bit like Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, except in a scrapyard.
Mm-hmm.
He rules this place with an iron hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that later. He enforces discipline among his cadre of hobo derelicts here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I guess getting back to this Viper drink, the first person who consumes it, he goes off to find somewhere to just find a little bit of respite
in an
abandoned, burned out, typical New York
tenement
burnout building, and
He finds a throne.
he finds a busted commode.
Exactly.
And when he drinks this hooch, he implodes into slimy, disgusting,
spectacular
goo and gets sucked into the toilet.
Right.
So it's a bit like the movie we reviewed called Pledge Night, where a rocker zombie emerges from the commode, giving the peace sign. But this one, he he disintegrates and gets sucked right into the crapper. And that doesn't even begin to describe how disgusting and taboo-shattering this movie is.
Exactly. And when he does flush himself, I mean, there is a bit of a, there's a clue. There's the only piece that's remaining of him is just a little bit of his arm as he's holding on to the what do you want to go? What is that thing called that you pull and you flush? Whatever the hell that
is. Whatever that lever is.
And that sort of leads into this investigation with this cop and everything because, you know, he's noticing that these bums are disappearing.
Well, I guess we should say there's also a local sleazebag restaurant owner who's...
This is Mr. Durant.
Mr. Durant, warbles the title track, which is obviously a disgusting, more ribald version of I Did It My Way, the made popular by the chairman of the board, obviously. Mm-hmm. So he runs this restaurant, and he's got this bellhop, and his girlfriend... He has a fight with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She leaves his place of business, his establishment, and our protagonist finds her drunk outside. Freddie.
I mean, she's just wasted. She's out of a mess. Mind. She's blasted. She's calling him Nikki or something.
Yeah. And he says, "Oh, I'll take you back to my place. Right. My brother owns a scrapyard." Mm-hmm. Little does she know that he's a denizen of a scrapyard who's fashioned a little flat apartment out of scrap
automobiles. A little hovel he can call home, basically. Yeah. Where he can hang his hat, you know?
And he takes her back to his place for some stooping.
From stooping, yeah. And we should
say that this act attracts all sorts of attention.
Yeah, I mean, this is incredible. I mean, first of all...
This is really incredible and disgusting.
And disgusting and extremely, extremely offensive. But anyhow, we'll describe it. He takes her back to this scrapyard, this junkyard, for lack of a better term, and he basically stoops her in the back seat of a car, which is just the back seat, because...
He stoops her in her back seat, I guess we should say as well.
In her back seat, in the back seat, indeed. And then...
Backdoor Man. I mean, was it Howlin' Wolf? We're not doing any more singing here on the podcast.
I'm not going to say anything about it.
You're not going to make any promises.
No promises are being made. I'm not going to write a check that my mouth can't cover. But anyhow, all of a sudden, the denizens of this the scrapyard, all these bums start crawling out of the woodwork, oozing out, and it reminded me of...
It was like demons.
It reminded me of demons, exactly, with the lighting and the, you know, they just kind of go, the zombies just like, oh my God, what's going on? I mean,
and they're all drooling and wagging their tongues in the midst of this... getting it on. This horizontal boogie.
So Freddy gets... Freddy does the mattress mambo, and it lasts all of about 18 seconds. And then here comes the part that's a little unsavory, where the
I guess this crew drags this poor woman who's been through enough. I mean, she's just been shagged royally by this grotesque hobo, and then she's pulled into the back of the scrapyard, and I guess gang raped, unfortunately. I guess we should say on a more serious note, this is sort of interesting. From the perspective of our often complicated relationship for those of us who live in big cities with the homeless. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, in Hollywood films, they're used to advance the story, but they're never the featured act themselves. They're always there to provide a backdrop for their hero who maybe hands them a dollar, or maybe they're there to dispense some sort of worldly wisdom. But in this movie, warts and all, they're shown in every facet.
What about that other horror cliche of the homeless guy that's really like some sort of like, you know, amazing genius who, like, you know, some, you know, prodigy of some sort who, you know, he just needs the right person to take him under his wing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of movies like The Fisher King, The Pianist, I believe is called, with Jamie Foxx, and
their backstory,
the Caveman's Valentine.
Their backstory is that something went horribly awry in their life, and they used to be successful, and they ended up on the street. They're never just derelict, wayward scumbags.
And now they need somebody to basically bring them back to prominence. This movie, I mean, so, and then you have, of course, your derelicts that are there to do really heinously disgusting things. So, I mean,
which we'll get to now.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that this movie shows, you know, a wide spectrum of
street people.
I was going to say domicilely challenged people.
Yeah.
If we have to say it in a PC sort of way, you know?
Yeah.
Those who are temporarily relocated.
Those of no fixed address.
Exactly. I mean, you got your sort of virtuous ones, you got your semi-virtuous ones, and you got your real scumbags.
Yeah, and
Bronson being one of them.
Yes, Bronson, this gang leader. We should say, when we're talking about taboo breaking, there's a scene in which, I guess, one of the derelicts goes to urinate through a hole in some of the scrap for some sedan, I guess, and he ends up peeing on this boss, this copy di tutti copy of the homeless guys, right. And
he's got some serious PTSD.
Yeah. He does, yeah. But it's enough to see someone pee on someone in a film. That is pretty avant-garde when it comes to film. But what happens to him next just takes it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so they sever his member.
Bronson severs his member.
Yes, yep. And they play keep away with it in the dump, which is, that's got to be a first for me.
Oh, yeah.
Not the severing of the member. I've seen that in other films. Right. some Troma Productions.
Yep.
The names escape me now, but I've never seen this takes it to the another echelon.
Yeah, yeah.
With the keep away.
And it's kind of funny.
All set to some peppy music.
Yeah, exactly. And this poor guy is just trying to get his, you know,
trying to get his member back.
Which is really a bit absurd, because, I mean, if somebody severed your member, I mean, you'd be bleeding out in seconds flat, but whatever. I mean, you know, whatever gets you.
and there's a quite hilarious scene. Well, he face plants in a puddle of rainwater there, and so he finally procures his recently severed schlong, mm-hmm. and he runs out to the street and tries to procure a yellow cab, a cab, and the cab will have nothing of. Will have no part of him because he thinks he's waving a dildo. So yeah, a little bit of humor injected into this, just pure sleaze fest.
There is lots of humor. I mean, you know, that's the thing that makes this film. I mean, because if you're just going to describe some of these scenes, I mean, it sounds extremely unpalatable. Something along the lines of like you're necromantics or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this film has got a lot of humor.
There's a scene where another hobo. He's up on a stairwell.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying his Viper,
and he proceeds to explode into slimy goo, and he just goos all over these gentrifying yuppies who are walking below. Mm-hmm, it's just really funny little vignettes like that.
Yep. Another scene that's, ultimately funny and disgusting, we have this cop, his name is Bill.
Yeah.
And he's sort of on the case, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with these missing derelicts, as well as
exploding missing derelicts,
as well as the girlfriend we talked about.
I guess this restaurant owner who's loosely tied to the New Jersey Mafia.
Yeah.
His girlfriend ends up dead after she's raped, mm-hmm. and so he's. He's on the case.
He's on the case.
To find out what happened to her when her body ends up on the shores of the East River.
And again, you're a big fan of CSI and those sort of like, you know.
I'm embarrassed to admit, yes. Law and Order SVU.
Okay, but you know, when they do sort of like, you know, the forensics and so on and so forth. So they did a forensics on this unfortunate young lady, and what did they say? They found layers of semen. That's pretty, you know, that's
one of which tested positive for syphilis, again taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Just when you thought layers of semen wasn't offensive enough, then syphilis diagnosis, and thereafter immediately sight gag, cut gag, guy scratching himself with obvious signs of
syphilitic
genital itch. Yep. Just disgusting. Mm-hmm.
So I was gonna say, so we have our cop and Nick the Dick, or the Don of Douchebags,
as Nick Durant, the mobster,
as his bellboy calls him. Yeah. He sends one of his goons to go after the cop, and they have this great fight.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, and we gotta say, Bill, I mean, he's a pretty formidable guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he ends up beating this guy to death with his bare fists, and then he takes his bloody corpse and
shoves it into a urinal
and then vomits all over him.
Makes himself vomit a la the latest season of America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just incredible stuff.
So, full frontal nudity during the opening credits,
right?
Urinating female, on people, mm-hmm. severing members.
Yep.
Exploding torsos.
Not to mention
heads shoved in urinals.
Not
what next.
Not
what?
The best exploding obese guy ever committed to celluloid. Better than anything in Monty Python.
Meaning of Life, where of course the punchline is, "Can I get a breath mint for the world when the world's fattest man?"
It was a paper thin wafer.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, "No, I'm stuffed. Sawed off. But it's so paper thin." And he eats it, and then
boom.
But this is incredible. I mean, the gore is unbelievable. It's just like I said before, it's candy colored, day glow, almost reminds me of like some sort of cotton candy, hallucinatory like Candyland. And the cinematography is amazing. In fact, the director went on to be a very noted Steadicam operator.
Yeah, most notably a film that's got a rank in my top five all-time worst.
I was going to say all-time best because he did Maniac.
He did Maniac, but all-time worst, he was part of the crew from Titanic.
Yes, yes. So the cinematography, the camera work is incredible. It's as we said before, I mean, it's vile, it's filthy, it's disgusting, but it's so endearing and entertaining. It's one of our favorites, I think. So
on our scale of 1 to 5, 1 being a must miss, 5 being a must see, where would you slot Street Trash?
I would give it 4 bobbitized members. this is 4 stars all the way. I mean, if I have to say any criticism of Street Trash, it's a little overlong. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. There are parts where it does kind of drag a wee bit. A little bit more judicious editing would have probably made it like a real sort of thrill ride. I think it could have lost about 15 minutes. If that was the case, I would give it 4.5, 5 stars, but not 4 stars all the way.
Yeah, likewise, 4 star. Mm-hmm. So what did we learn from Street Trash?
Well, I mean, one thing I did learn is that if somebody is... the best way to end a potentially homicidal brawl is to piss on somebody. Most of the time when someone is pissed upon, they generally stop what they're doing and try and figure out the source of the urine.
The source of the... Oh, my God.
Yeah. I also learned that if your member is severed, you could... Yeah, You could live for at least another 20, 30 minutes playing a very vigorous game of monkey in the middle, as your willy is being tossed willy-nilly throughout the area.
Oh, Lord. What I learned is... there's a top 10 list could be made of all the taboo-breaking, just disgusting, vile moments from this movie alone. There's one we didn't mention. There's a scene in which a homeless guy... goes through a grocery store and stuffs raw chicken down his pants.
Yeah.
And I guess we should say, he gets called out by an elderly woman who he describes as an old honky bitch.
I just love the way you say that.
Yeah.
Your street cred is off the charts, man.
So this is just unbelievable. There's things you will never see in any movie, and we absolutely guarantee it. So we can't recommend this thing enough.
Just to give you guys a bit of a clue where my head is at. I mean, when I saw the scene, I immediately thought back to Jonathan Franzen's classic novel, The Corrections. One of the characters was trying to steal some very expensive salmon by stuffing it down his pants. So, I mean, my brain has got Street Trash and like The Corrections. I don't know what.
Like a whole salmon or locks.
No, it was like a salmon fillets. I mean, he fell on hard times and he was trying to host a dinner party and it's been a while since I read that novel, but that scene is indelibly stamped in my
fishy.
Memory.
Anyway, for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.